Jesus, we thank you and praise you. We rejoice in who you are. We rejoice because you demonstrated your love, your limitless love for us by becoming flesh, by coming here to this world, by becoming the perfect sacrifice for us. For we don't take it for granted. We don't forget it or overlook it. We rejoice and we praise you for it. We are here tonight to honor and to just say thank you, Jesus, for the demonstration of your love. For we love you back with the fullness of the love of our hearts. We say we love you, Jesus. You be glorified in this time. And as always, be glorified in our lives. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. As we do, I do want to just praise the Lord and thank him because, you know, tomorrow's the day that we're going to be thinking about gifts and opening gifts. And there is a great gift for someone in our church today because Jessica and Caleb, Jessica just had her little boy yesterday. So Paxton, I don't know anything because I talked to Caleb. Okay, so 9 pounds, 1 ounce, so Paxton is in the world. Lord, we thank you for Paxton. We thank you for that life. We just rejoice in this gift that you've brought into Caleb and Jessica's family. We thank you for that. And even though we can't see all the plans that you have for Paxton, we know you've got great plans for his life. And so we speak the fullness of it. On the first hours of his life, we speak the fullness of all your plans, that he comes to know you quickly. He's a joy to his mom, his dad, his siblings, and that he fulfills the things you've called him to do in this world. We thank you and praise you for that. We lift up Jessica. I thank you that you just give strength to Jessica. We speak strength and just health to her body. In your name, Jesus, we rejoice in this. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before we get started tonight, because Christmas does kind of focus on gifts and giving of gifts and opening gifts, and one of the things that's been on my heart is just thinking, in fact, I was just talking to Jeff about this before church started. One of the things that's on my heart is the gifts that Jesus gives us. I mean, there are gifts that he has put inside of each one of us. We need to open up those gifts. We need to live our lives fully utilizing those gifts because every single one of us, Jesus has given us gifts. He's given us strength. He's given us abilities. He's given each one of us a call for our lives. And you will not find any greater joy. In fact, the greatest peace, the greatest contentment that you have in life is only found when you are walking in his will, when you are doing the things that he's called you to do. So as we're thinking about those gifts and you're opening those gifts tomorrow, just remember, as we head into this year, make a plan to make sure that we're opening up all the gifts that Jesus has invested inside of us. Open up those gifts that he has in each of us. Amen? All right, well, you know, one of the things I've only been doing City on the Hill for 5 years, and before that I always just filled in for pastoring, so I never had an opportunity to do Christmas messages. So I always thought, wow, doing Christmas, there will be plenty and plenty of Christmas messages. After like 3 years, I thought, okay, so what do we do beyond this? But this is the amazing thing about the Word. Even as I was preparing messages for tonight and for tomorrow, I had to limit down and cut back and think, oh, I can do that another year. I can do that another year. The amazing thing is, in every part of the Word, there is so much life and vitality. And when we think about, and tomorrow we're going to be just focused on the birth of Jesus Christ, there is so much that is in that story for us. I encourage you, take time tomorrow and with your family or just by yourselves, read the story. Read those stories both in Matthew and in Luke. Read those stories and just let the Holy Spirit reveal new and fresh things to you because there's so much life in that life of Jesus Christ. Well, Lord, as we get ready to share your word this morning, we do thank you and praise you. I thank you that your word never returns void. I thank you that in your word, you're revealing yourself to us tonight through your word. We are ready to receive it in fullness to glorify you. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, one of the ubiquitous things about Christmas is lights. And when you think about Christmas, one of the great ubiquitous symbols is lights. Everything about Christmas just ties with lights. I mean, look around. I mean, driving here, how many houses did you see, you know, that were illuminated, that had lights? We have lights that we string across the trees. What would Christmas be if we didn't see lights strung across the tree? We adorn our houses with strings of lights. We compete with our neighbors to see who can get the most usage of the lights and who can use the most wattage of the lights in illuminating their houses. Truly, lights are a central part of Christmas decorations. And that's really very appropriate when you think about it. Because when you think about all the stories, all that Jesus tells us, or all that the Word tells us about the birth of Jesus, so much of it centers on the lights and the light and the power of God, the light of God. So much of it centers on that. In fact, as you go through, if you look through Matthew and you look through Luke, there's almost no part of those stories, almost every aspect of the stories of the birth of Jesus Christ are tied to lights, and we see the power of lights, the power of God's life being associated with the birth of Jesus Christ. So one of the things we learn, one of the first things we learn as we're looking at the birth of Jesus Christ, one of those first things we learn is that the light is associated with the birth of Jesus Christ. It's associated with all parts. And we even see that light is associated with the birth of Jesus Christ even before Jesus is born. We see the importance and the power of the light of God. Zacharias is the father of John the Baptist. And Zacharias, he's prophesying in Luke chapter 1. And he's prophesying about Jesus Christ. And he's prophesying about the one that his very son is going to lead, is going to be the one. Tony, if you can get me that other one, I don't know why this isn't working tonight. He's prophesying about the one who is going, his son, who is going to be the one that prepares the way for Jesus Christ. And in that prophecy that he shares, well, let's just read it. This is in the Amplified Bible. This is Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. Listen to this prophecy and see right away the light of Jesus Christ. Because of and through the heart of the tender mercy and the loving kindness of our God, a light from on high will dawn upon us and visit us, to shine upon and to give light to those who sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death to direct and guide our feet in a straight line to the way of peace. You could look at that verse and you could go through that verse almost line by line and phrase by phrase and see so much truth and so much that is there that shows us Jesus and the power of God's light at the very birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light that came into the world. And it is the light of Jesus that came into the world. He is the presence of that light. Jesus is the light. He is the light of salvation. Jesus is even the light. When you read those verses, Jesus is even the light that leads the hearts, guides and directs the hearts of men, and takes them directly to a relationship and a restoration of the relationship with God the Father. Everything about Jesus Christ and the birth of Jesus Christ points to that light and that illumination. While we're still in Luke's narrative and just looking at how Luke tells us about the birth of Jesus Christ, even in his narrative, we continue to see just the power of the light. And once more, we see another example of that light of Jesus Christ and that light that came at his birth. But we also see that it's the light that came even before his birth. In fact, at the conception of Jesus, even at the moment of his conception, we can still see the power of the light of God being present at that moment. When Gabriel had appeared to Mary, he appeared to Mary and he was expressing to Mary and telling Mary that she had favor with God. And even as he is expressing that and saying that, Mary, you have favor with God, he says, Mary, you have favor with God and you shall have a son. You'll bring forth a son and he shall be called the Son of the Most High. So as he says all this to Mary and expresses this to Mary, Mary then responds, and Mary says, well, how can this be? Because exactly what he's saying is, you're going to have the Son of God. And she can see that, and she can read between the lines. And in fact, if you're here tomorrow morning, I'm going to show you that when God was speaking, when Gabriel was speaking, and he's speaking the Word of God to Mary, you can see that Mary understood exactly what was being said. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse number 35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And therefore also, that Holy One who was born will be called the Son of God. The Spirit of the Lord overshadowing Mary. You know, we see that same thing. We see that same illustration a little bit later in Jesus' life. If you think about it, there's that time when the glory cloud is appearing. And it's at that later point in life, at the transfiguration of Jesus. In fact, if you look in Matthew's account, Matthew even says and uses the word uses the word overshadowed when he's talking about the transfiguration. This overshadowing that we see here when he's talking to Mary, this overshadowing indicates an illumination. It indicates a light. The overshadowing is that light that is white like the sun. This is talking about the presence of God himself. Even at the moment of conception, we see the power and we see the presence of God as demonstrated by the light. You know, when you're driving around, I don't know about you guys, but how many of you, when you're driving around in Christmas, do you ever take time? I don't know, I used to have time to do this. We would sometimes just take a night and just drive around the neighborhoods and look at all the different Christmas lights. When you see Christmas lights, I want us to, from this point forward, when you see Christmas lights, know that it's a reminder to us of the power of God and how the light of God and the power of God's light was present in every point and every juncture along the way in the birth of Jesus. Because it points us always back to Jesus being the light of this world, the light that came to the world. And when Mary agreed and she accepted that role that God had called her to, when Mary agreed and said, "As it is, as you've spoken it, let it be unto me according to your word." As soon as Mary spoke that, she was overshadowed by the Spirit of the Lord. She was in the light and the illumination of God. This is the very same Shekinah glory that we see in the Old Testament with Moses. This is the power, the light, and the presence of God that was there, even at the moment of conception. Now, if we see the light of God at that moment, then the light of God must be present with the birth of Jesus Christ. Because at the birth of Jesus, this is the Son of God coming from the spiritual realm, stepping from the spiritual realm into this realm of the flesh. This is a time that we have to see that light of God. It is the glory of the light of God pouring forth from heaven when the announcement is made to the shepherds in the field. You can just see that light being the glory, the heavens opened up. And we read that in Luke chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" If you just picture yourself for a moment, picture yourself being there. If you picture yourself there at that moment, you can see and you can kind of understand why the glory of God would be so awe-inspiring that it would cause those shepherds to be fearful. Because this is the light of heaven at this very moment. Because I believe that at the moment that the angel is standing there and saying, "Born unto you this day in the city of David is a Savior," I believe that is the moment that Jesus was born. And you can just see that the heavens open up. And as heaven opens up, his light pours forth into the world. When you see the lights that are associated with Christmas, where there's on a tree, you're driving around, think and remember, it's our constant reminder of the light of God. And the light of God was given to us through the person of Jesus Christ. He brought light into the darkness of the world. Jesus is that light. The birth of Jesus Christ had to be with a manifestation of light, because the world had been in darkness up until that time. Had to be a manifestation of light, because it was in darkness, but at the moment that Jesus came, at the moment of Jesus' birth, light has come to the world. And the prophet Isaiah actually speaks about this in Isaiah 9, verse number 2. "The people who walked in darkness," just think about that. We never stop to realize what the world was like from the time that Adam committed sin until the time of Jesus. We never stop to think about, we have no idea what the world was like. But the world was in darkness. Isaiah says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." With Jesus came life into a world of death. Light had come into a dark world. John himself speaks about these things in the opening verses of his gospel. John speaks about these truths to us. Listen to the way that John, in part, describes Jesus. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was light, the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. At the birth of Jesus Christ, life and light both came into a world that had been a world filled with darkness. Now, we see the continuation of this understanding of light. We see the power of this light. We see the testimony of that light continue in Matthew's gospel. Matthew talks to it when he speaks about the birth of Jesus Christ as well. This is Matthew chapter 2, verse number 2. Because when Matthew talks about this and he gives his narrative, that's when we learn about the wise men. And the wise men, they came. And they came to honor the birth of the Savior. And they came and they brought their gifts, their symbolic gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They came to Jerusalem and they were searching for the King of the Jews. And they said, "We saw his star rise in the east." What did they see? They saw a light rise in the east. And in Matthew chapter 2, verse number 2, saying, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." A star arose in the east, and the wise men, they recognized this as a sign. They knew that this was a sign showing and representing the prophesied coming of the King of the Jews. They saw it, they recognized it, and they came for it. Think about this. The light of that star that they saw, the light of that star appeared to them at the moment that Jesus was born. That's when they saw that light, because Jesus is the light that came into a dark world. That light that came that they saw, it was announcing to anyone who had eyes, anyone who was watching, anyone who was looking and hungering, who was looking for the glory of the Lord, seeing that light, they would have known. The King of the Jews has come. Jesus is the light that came into the world, into the darkness. Now we also know that the wise men, after they had spoken with Herod, the wise men saw once again the star. The star appeared to them again. Now, when the star had been there previously, the star had showed up for them as a sign that they were to come. But then the star disappeared. But now the star returned once again. And they have joy in their hearts when they see the star return. And when the star returns, the star this time leads them directly to the place where the Christ child is, where Jesus himself is. Jesus is the light that came into the darkness of the world. This is not a normal starlight. The starlight that the wise men saw is not a normal starlight, because this light, this starlight has motion. This starlight is movement. It went before them. And then it also makes clear that the movement stopped, because the star stopped right over the place where Jesus was. Again, we see that in the scriptures. This is Matthew chapter 2, verse number 9. "And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, until it came and it stood over where the Christ child was." You can see the movement of the star. This is not a distant star, a stationary star in the night sky. This is something that's more than this. This is yet another example to us of what we've seen so far. It's an example of the demonstration, the continuation of the light showing us the power and the presence of the Lord. And the power and the presence of the Lord that was all around in every aspect of the birth of Jesus Christ. The wise men were led by the exact same Shekinah glory that we saw earlier. They were led to Jesus by that. The light of Jesus at his birth. It's more than just a really cool story with some really neat imagery. It's more than that. Truly, the light at Jesus' birth, it is the pivotal point in the history of human events. At Christmas, think about this. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of our Savior who redeemed us from sin. But Christmas is also supposed to be a reminder to us of who we are in Jesus Christ, and that we are the ones that today carry. We are His light bearers. His light is in us. To really understand that, let me give you a really quick, simple spiritual timeline of the history of the world. It's a very quick timeline. The world began at creation. What do we see associated with creation? We see the light of God at creation. And in Genesis' account, we see that the light of God was present, and the light of God was illuminating His creation even before God created the sun, the moon, or the stars. Even at creation, we see that power and the presence of the light. Here's the second phase. The second phase is the fall that comes as a result of sin. And when sin came into the world, what happened? The world is plunged into darkness. So we had the light of God that illuminated even before the sun, moon, and stars. But now with sin, we're in the second phase. And sin brought darkness to the world. Isaiah speaks to us about that in a very powerful way. This is Isaiah chapter 60, verse number 2. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." That's exactly what happened. Darkness covered the earth. Again, we can't even begin to comprehend what the world was like in that darkness, because we live in a time of the light of Jesus Christ. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you." The people lived in darkness. They lived in darkness, but then came the light and the life of Jesus Christ. The coming of the light of Jesus, it is that turning point. You know, Christmas is that time that we celebrate. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, but it also needs to be the time that we remember that each one of us has a daily purpose in our lives. Each one of us has a daily purpose to be the light of Jesus to the world, because He has called each one of us. He's invested His light. His light is in each one of us. We are the light of Jesus Christ to the world. There is darkness around each one of us. There's darkness around our families, our workplaces. There's darkness right outside there. We are the ones that bring the light of Jesus to the world. And that's why it's so imperative for us to know what the gifts are that Jesus has put inside of us, so we can utilize those gifts to His glory, so that we can be that ongoing light of Jesus Christ. We are to be His light until we come to that final phase of the timeline of the history of the world. We're to be His light. And that final phase is what's coming ahead. Until that time of the return of Jesus Christ and the return of the New Jerusalem, until that time, we are the light of Jesus Christ. And think about this. When New Jerusalem does return, when New Jerusalem comes, it's going to be just like in the garden at the very beginning. It's going to be just the same in this way. It's going to be illuminated by not the sun, not the moon, not the stars. It's going to be illuminated by the very presence of the Lord. It's Him once again. We see that. Look at this in Revelation 21:23. "The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light." So at creation, we see light, the demonstration, the presence of God, the power of His light. Then darkness came into the world, and people lived in darkness until Jesus came. Once Jesus came, that was a monumental shift. I said it was a pivot point because that's when human history turned. Because since the time of Jesus' presence, His light has been here in this world. And we continue to be the bearers of His light. So that we continue to be that light. To be that light until the end, until that next phase. This is the honor that Jesus Christ has given us. Christmas reminds us that the light of Jesus Christ, Christmas reminds us that the light of Jesus Christ has come unto us. But it's also a reminder for us that we are the ones that continually have to represent We have no idea. I've said earlier, we have no concept what the world was like. We have no concept what life was like during that time of darkness. But I guarantee you this, it was a darkness that you and I can't even begin to comprehend. That's what the world was like before Jesus came. He is the light that came into the world. Because Jesus came into this world, light has come. And because Jesus came, even those in the world who reject Jesus, they still benefit from the light of Jesus that is here. Because they're not suffering in the abject darkness of the world before Jesus came. They benefit because the light of Jesus has come. When we think about the lights of Christmas, remember, it represents Jesus and the light has come. And this is the light that is inside of us. This is the light that we're supposed to be sharing. This is the light that should be drawing people to Jesus Christ through you and through me. The world itself benefits because the light of Jesus has come, but that's not enough. The world still needs the redemption. The redemption that only comes through Jesus Christ. And the truth of that light, or the light of that truth, it only comes through you and I. Christmas lights, when you think about Christmas lights, it should remind us that we need to take the bushel of the world off of ourselves to allow the light of Jesus Christ that is in us to shine unimpeded. You know, that's why we called the city on a hill, because of these verses. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are to beam the light of Jesus Christ. You and I, we're to beam the light of Jesus Christ to those who need it. We're supposed to be directing that light. A light that is directed is a beam of light. Now, the Bible talks about this in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7. This is not a verse you're going to normally see for Christmas, but I love the way it talks about the light and how the light is supposed to come through us. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts so as to beam forth the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and the glory of God, as it is manifest in the person and it's revealed in the face of Jesus Christ the Messiah. However, we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of earth, that the grandeur and the exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God and not from ourselves. Light that is directed, light that is focused, is a beam. We are supposed to be beaming that light of Jesus Christ through us. How do we focus the beam of that light of Jesus Christ in us? How do we focus that beam to make it shine into the darkness? Well, there's many ways, but here's one way that I want us to think about and focus on. One of the ways that we make that light of Jesus in us directed and focused like a beam is by speaking the word of God. Listen to this. I know I got a lot of scriptures, but I love, there are so many scriptures that talk about light. This is 2 Peter 1:19. And we have the prophetic word. We have the prophetic word made still firmer. You will do well to pay close attention to it, as to a lamp shining in a dismal, squalid, and dark place. You've got the Word of God, which is a light that shines like a beam in the dismal, squalid, dark places that are around each one of us. Until the day breaks through the gloom, and the morning star, Jesus Christ, rises, comes into being in your hearts. When we speak the word of God, when we speak the prophetic word, the word of God becomes like a laser beam. It's focused, it's directed, and it's powerful. penetrating to the very hearts of the ones who hear it. You know, I said, think about the gifts that Jesus has given us. Unwrap those gifts and use those gifts in our life. Just think about the simple gift that we have, the most powerful gift that each one of us has, which is the Word of God. The more we fill ourselves with the Word of God, the more that Word just naturally flows out of us. And when you speak that Word, it is like a focused, directed laser beam of life and truth into the dark and squalid places. I don't know about you. I don't know if you remember what your life was like before you knew Jesus. I don't even remember. But I know there was darkness and I know there was confusion. If you can remember what your life was like before Jesus, just stop and imagine what the people around you in life, what they're going through, what they're living through. It's more than what you and I can see because it's that darkness. Now, they have the benefit of the light of Jesus being here, but they need the redemption. They need the freedom. They need the power of the light. This is what the lights of Christmas, when you look at the Christmas tree tomorrow and you see those lights, think about the light of Jesus that is inside of us and that he intends to come out of us like a focused beam, like a laser, impacting the lives of the people around us who are in squalid darkness and need the hope, need the light of Jesus that we have. This is the prophetic word that we have. The more that we speak the Word of God, the more his light pierces into the gloom of the world around us. I don't know what you're expecting for 2017. I know that I'm always expecting something great from the Lord. And the more that we allow ourselves to be that beam, as the more we allow the light of Jesus Christ in us to be that beam that comes out of us, expect to see great things in the lives of people around you. Freedom, joy, victory, and deliverances in the lives of people around you. One more verse. This is in Malachi chapter 4, verse number 2. I wanted to share this with you from the Expanded Bible because I love the way this reads. But for you who honor me, fear, revere my name, goodness will shine on you like the sun. The sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, wings. You will jump around, go leaping like well-fed calves, calves from the stall. Christmas reminds us of the light of Jesus Christ. And on Christmas morning, we celebrate the birth of our Savior and all that that means for us and the gift of life that that brings. But every single day should have the joy of Christmas. Every day should have that joy, and the world should see that joy of Christmas. Every single day, not just on Christmas Day. Every day the world should see that joy. They should see us running and leaping with the joy and enthusiasm that lets them know when they look at you and they say, well, their life is as hard as mine, but look at the joy that they have. This is what the world should see. Christmas and everything about the Christmas story, and I've edited this way down. Christmas and the Christmas story, almost every aspect of it incorporates the power of the light of God. And it demonstrates Jesus being that light that came into the darkness of the world. We are the light today. As we go out tomorrow and the day after that, have that joy of Jesus. Have the word that's there. Because every day we should be that light of Jesus Christ, the light to the word, that beam, that focused laser beam into the lives of those around us. That's what Christmas is, 365 days a year. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. We're going to praise him with a closing song. You guys should have had candles. If you just screw the bottom, it'll light up. I think we're going to sing Silent Night.